get this out to everybody. Those of you, if this is your first time here, just make sure everybody has some bread and some drink, and don't take it till the end. In fact, if you don't even want to take it, I want you to at least take it. You don't have to take it later, but take it and hold it, because there's a point to all this madness. Who else? All right, I'm still. Oh, good job. Okay, I'll help. Did y'all get hit yet? She's hitting y'all. Ba ba ba. Raise your hand if you haven't had any yet. Ah. Oh, okay. Anybody else? Okay. And the juice. Man, so you got a cracker and no juice. Some people are on their roll here. And y'all already got bread too. You good? You got the bread? What are you missing? Just the juice. Man, somebody's, where are you crackering it up there, dude? I like it. Anybody, or you need just a, yeah. No. I'm good. I just want to make sure everybody's been served.
Okay. If you have not received the juice, raise your hand. Still at the back. Have not received okay. The cup. If you have not received bread, raise your hand. We got a whole section over here. We got three sections that are breadless.
Breadless. Y'all good?
Yeah.
Everybody over here good?
Thank you,
y'all are
Johnny.
Good? Everybody,
bread.
Everybody's good? Go ahead, man. You got it. Here you go, Matt. Okay, cool. Yeah, that was, here's what I love about the way I just did that. We have, the church, not a bad thing necessarily, but we've gotten in a pattern of, man, my shirt, y'all. Okay, let me explain this so you'll understand why you're going to see blue sleeves. I buttoned these, but it covers me down to here. So I rolled them, but then they showed that, so I pulled these up. So just leave me alone. Talking to myself. So just because, so that's going to be the new look now. Is everybody get taken care of, except for me. What I want you to understand, you know, we've talked, this is the third week that I'm doing the entire message on communion. Just so you know, I won't be doing the whole message on communion unless the Lord directs that way. But we are going to have communion available every service, so we might have to take up a love offering for the elements, the juice and the crackers. But I just feel very strongly in my spirit, and it's just very true and clear in the Word, and we'll kind of see that today. Just so you understand, what you hold in your hand is everything that you ever need for Jesus. Everything. Now, I understand it's a cracker and it's juice, and you know, there's all the battle about how we should do it and all. That's not the point. The point is, when communion was birthed, Christ is the one who birthed it. And then after the Holy Spirit came down and filled everybody, they caught hold of this communion, and so they gathered. Every time they gathered, they would have this communion. Now, they messed it up, and I'll show you where Paul kind of chastised them, actually, about that, but it's not the point. The point is, it's not just an ordinance of the church. You know, like we have always, for the 27 years I've been here, it's always been the first of the month, and we get through it, and then, you know, we'll have communion again. Well, that's not really what communion is. Everything you hold in your hand is everything you've ever needed concerning God. Because that blood represents an incredible grace that none of us can hardly understand and walk in. It was that song that they sang a while ago. I'm righteous in His, because of His blood. We could never be called righteous had Jesus not done what He did. So every time we do communion, which the word communion is that we're communicate. This is a communion with Jesus. I've shared it with you a million times, and I will give you instructions to do the same. Have communion every day, but don't let it get dry and old to you. Let it become life to you. Take your time with it. Because in that blood represents everything you need. You depressed? I'm going to show you in Scripture where incorporated in this whole communion is depression. He covers that in the blood. Because how in the world can we be depressed if we know that no matter how stupid we do something, Christ's blood took care of it on the cross for us. You get it. And man, there is power in this. And I'm going to grab my notes so I can do something here. So last week we talked about examining communion. But here's what I want to talk about this week. And I've touched on this before. When I was a child and I was raised in church, some of you might not have been raised in church. Some of you might not even understand what communion is. And I understand. I get that. But I was raised in church, and we were instructed that we had to examine ourselves to make sure we were worthy enough to take this thing called communion. And it's not about taking communion, ladies and gentlemen. It's to receive communion. Communion is received. When we take His blood, we receive the fact that He took care of all of our sins on the cross. When we eat the bread, we receive the fact that His total body was healed for us. You know what? I was actually shared this with Carl this week. About four times a year, I watch the movie The Passion of the Christ. It's extremely brutal, just in case you haven't seen it, just so you know. But I want to tell you something and be very clear about it. It's not brutal enough. And so I just decided the other night that I want to understand this even better. So I watched that movie again. And every time they slugged Jesus in the face, I knew it was His body. And I knew it was for my healing. Every time they slapped Him, and every time they ripped chunks of flesh out of Him, I'm telling you, man, it's not about a movie. It's the truth of who Christ is. You will find Christ in communing with Him when He said to do this. So when I was a kid, though, I was taught, and here's the script. This is King James Version, by the way, because this is what I was learned on was King James. Here's what the word said. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So I'm told, man, before you take communion, you better make sure all your sin is taken care of. Now the irony in that is, it is all taken care of, but because of Christ, not me. So I wouldn't take it. Why would I want to make myself sickly and weak? And show the next scripture. This is the following scripture. So this is why many of you are weak and sick, and some even have died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God this way. Well, what in the world? Why bother even going to communion if I got to look at my ugly? My parents pointed out my ugly. The preacher pointed out my ugly. Everybody pointed out how ugly I was. Why in the world would I want to just skip communion? It's only for 5 minutes anyway on first Sunday of the month. All right. That was me. So, communion was the reason that I was weak and sick. Instead of seeing it as the way out, you get it? Instead of seeing it as the way out. You know, I'm 65 years old, and for a 65-year-old guy, I'm pretty daggum healthy, and I give total glory to God in that. Amen. And I give total glory to God in that because I have learned to examine what I'm supposed to be examining. And it ain't about how bad I am. It's examining my belief. We'll get there. So, again, communion here's the truth. Legalism is always about self-examination. Grace, Jesus, is always about focusing on Him, His examination. Anytime anybody tells you something, it's total, complete legalism because Christ took care of everything on the cross. So when you gather and you've got that cup, we won't even get to the bread yet, you've got that cup in your hand. It's because of that blood that He shed, that He started that new covenant with us. It's very clear in the Scripture. And when you drink that cup, you're drinking in the grace and the love and the wonderness of Jesus. And it will change you. Not the physical thing. Listen, I know I can offend a lot of you. Jesus offended them when He told them. Remember the story? He said, you got to drink my blood and eat my flesh. Oh, man, it offended them all. In fact, the disciples came up to Him and said, you know, you offended the Pharisees. And Jesus said, so you're going to walk away too? You're going to walk away too? Walk away. Because herein lies the truth. Everything you hold in your hand, has everything to do about everything that is incorporated in you. Are you addicted? You've got it in your hand to be taken care of. You hear me? Have you been declared you've got cancer? You've got everything in that bread. So I want to rightly divide the word. Can we rightly divide the word this time instead of me getting hammered by when I was a child? I mean, I couldn't even understand King James anyway. Eateth, drinketh, what the world? But I did it. I did it. And it. Yeah, been there, done that. Should have bought the T-shirt. So we're gonna let's look at this in context of what Paul wrote. Can we do that? So here's what he said. This is prior. This is above what we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. This is above the sick week thing. He says, talking to the Corinthian church, so when you meet together, you're not really interested in the Lord's Supper. You want to get it over with. Well, that's what he says. Because some of you are in a hurry to eat your own meal without sharing it with others. Now, let me pause there for a second. When you go back into those days, incorporate their communion, actually turn into a community meal, if you will. Now, in the beginning stages, it was a wonderful koinonia thing happening. But what happened was this very thing. Look at it. Some of you are in a hurry to eat your own meal without sharing it with others. And as a result, some go hungry while other people are just getting drunk. What? He says. Don't you have your own homes to eat and drink in? This was all happening in their gathering as of church believers. Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. Paul was making a specific, strong instruction. In a hurry, always in a hurry. We're always in a hurry. I'm Steve Enzett. My personality is always in a hurry. I'm telling you, it incorporated in me, some call it ADD, whatever. I'm always in a hurry to get stuff done. I'm always wanting to... I don't have a desire in my physical selfishness to sit still. But I have learned. When I first started taking communion every day, I would have been so busy during the day, I hadn't taken it. So it would be late at night. So I'm like, oh man, I've got to take, I got to catch up. It's like trying to read the Bible through. You get 18 chapters behind, so you fly through it so you can catch up. Well, that's silly. Get a verse that'll stick in your heart. That'll help. But yeah, so I would catch myself in a hurry. And so I'd, okay, Lord, and boy, I just started getting it. This bread is for your healing in me. But now, wait a minute. God didn't heal you, Steve, because you had surgery. Yeah, I did have surgery. I sure did. I really did. And I'm really glad I did. Wonderful believer that did the surgery. But Jesus is completing the healing in me. Amen. It's really true. I even vocalized that to the doctor. I'm like, I'm not taking the meds no more. Well, actually, I wasn't taking them. In fact, I did a quasi-lie first time I went after surgery. You taking that medicine? And I said, oh, I have that medicine at the house, yeah. I didn't lie, but they misunderstood me correctly. So this last time, Gay and I went, I just told them, look, I need to be honest, I'm not taking this stuff. And then she goes, well, you don't need it. You're beyond, what'd she say? You're better than most other. Now, guys, listen. Communion is not the magic pill. That's the problem with the church today. When we find something that works, we're going to do a seminar on it and write a book about it. This isn't about working. This is about believing, and you're going to see it as if I'll shut up and get back to this. But I can't help it. There's this passion. I think if I asked you, every one of you would raise your hands that you really want to change. You just want to see some changes in your life. I think, is that fair? Raise your hand if you'd like to see some change in you. Okay. I'm here to tell you, you hold it in your hand. Not the cracker and the juice, but the Jesus who in two elements covered every aspect of our life. Every aspect of our life. In all areas of our life. Not just health in our body, but health in our mind, health in all other avenues. So, sorry, let me flip a page here. So what Paul, do you see what Paul did? He rebuked him, but I want you to see what he rebuked. And I'm going to prove that with the next part of the scripture. He rebuked because they were focused on themselves and not on Christ. He rebuked them. Now, what do you have? Because it was all about, man, I'm going to, you know what? You ever had like one, like my mother, she didn't make them anymore, but she used to make cinnamon rolls, right? And listen, killer cinnamon rolls. I mean, she would roll them out and pour the, I'll never forget as a child, pour the raisins and the butter, and I'm making y'all hungry, and the brown sugar, and then she would roll it up, and then she would cut them, and she didn't let them rise, and I liked it better that way, and then she would cook them, right? But there'd always be one left, and there's always three of us kids, right? Well, bless God, I'm going to get that last one. And that's what would happen. Somebody would fight over the last one, get that last one. This is what was happening. Somebody wanted to, before, you know, oh, well, yeah, I know it's communion, but man, I got to eat, I'm hungry. Oh, I know it's communion, but this wine we're using for communion, it's pretty powerful, I'm going to use it. I'm just loving Jesus. It was all about them. Communion had become all about them. And this is what's so ironic. Though communion is all about us, it's really all about Him. You get it? Exactly. It's for us. But it's not the magic, but it's for us. It's in the belief system. It's in honestly understanding. Every time I drink the cup, it tells me the depths of the love that He has for me because of what He did. While I was still stupid, the Bible says, while I was still in sin, Christ died for me. His blood was shed. It's redemption. I'm going to stay right here. So Paul rebuked him because they're talking, and here's the proof of it, because here's the next thing that he said. For I pass on to you, he's talking to the Corinthian church after he just told them, I ain't going to brag on you for getting drunk and eating food. So I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord took some bread and He gave thanks to God for it. And then He broke it in pieces and said, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this to remember Me. And in the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and His people. You get that? A new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with My blood. Yes. What is that agreement? That agreement is Christ is the one and only sacrifice. Man, study Hebrews. Christ is the one and only sacrifice for all of mankind forever. Nothing is left to do but to believe in Christ. For God so loved the world, He gave His Son, that whoever believes. So this covenant, new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with what? My blood. But do this to remember Me. As often as you drink it, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death. That sounds so morbid. Every time you eat the bread and drink the cup, you're announcing His death. His death. Because had He not died, He would not have been resurrected. See, we love the resurrection, but we don't want to talk about the death. It's in communion where we experience the death of Christ so that we can be resurrected in His power. Okay, let me stay right here. So, communion is to remember Jesus' work on the cross, not me. So, if you've ever been told communion is about you, stop. It's not. It's about Him. You're not to examine you and how horrible you are, no matter whose opinion somebody gives you. It's just not true. It's not rightly dividing the word. So let's dig a little bit deeper here. And then Your Cowboys don't come on till 7, so I'll just make you stay till 6:30. Are you going to the game? If they lose, don't you ever go to another Cowboy game again. Everybody, all the people said? Amen. All right. What'd you learn church day, man? I learned that, Pastor. So now you understand where Paul, now hear me. You're hearing what happened. Paul said, man, y'all are playing the game, but staying the same. That's what he was saying. And here's what you're supposed to be doing. And then that's when we come into the scripture that's right after it. Here it is. So anyone, watch, he's referring to how they've been, you get it? So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, anoxios, without judging the worth. If you eat the bread or drink the cup without judging the worth of it, you're guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. This is why you should dokimazo. You should examine, and you should recognize as genuine after examination. This is the part of yourself that you're examining. You're examining that after you examine yourself, that you believe the truth of what Christ did. You examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. Because if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring, diakrino, it means to discern without doubt. I'm going to show you two scriptures. Remember, examine is dokimazo, however you say it. And then diakrino is the word honoring. So he's saying examine yourself, recognize as genuine after examination, and then to eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring, without discerning, without a doubt, the body of Christ you're eating and drinking, God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick and some have died. Here's a scripture I want you to see concerning the word examine. Same word. Jesus said, examine yourselves to see if your faith, your belief in truth is genuine. Test yourselves, surely you know, sorry, I said Jesus said this, Paul said this. Test yourselves, surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you failed the test of genuine. So examine yourself to see, okay, and then we'll go to that word where it said we have to honor him. Here's I love this one, the next scripture, please. Jesus told them, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and don't doubt, diakrino, don't doubt, you can do all things in this and much more, and you can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it'll happen. And you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, pistis is the word, you will receive it. Have faith and don't doubt. So back up that to the two scriptures to where we were a while ago. Thank you so much. Perfect. So especially verse 29. So you're eating the bread and drink cup without doubting the body of Christ. You're eating and drinking the same thing. Okay. Here. I vetted this out, and then we're going to have communion. This is how the scripture, I went to the original language, as you can see, and this is how it turned out. This is it right here. The SVB, Steve Van Zandt, vetted. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of Christ without judging the value, worth, and importance of it shall be worthy of punishment, answerable to the body and the blood of Christ. But a man must assess himself to see if his faith in the redemptive work of Christ is, in fact, genuine. It's in this manner. In what manner? In the manner that we have determined that I really do believe this. Yeah. I really do. So it's in this manner he's to eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks condemnation to himself if he does not discern without hesitation or doubt the body of Christ correctly. It's for this reason. For what reason? Because we don't take the time, as Paul said, they were always in a hurry, to discern the truth of this. So you drink condemnation without hesitating or doubt the body of Christ correctly. It's for this reason that many of you are with, watch this, this is what this means, without strength, in poor health, depressed and afflicted, and many have died. Because we don't discern the body of the Lord correctly. Not because of the horrific things in our life, that's when you discern the blood correctly. When we take the blood, which is represented by the grape juice or the wine or whoever, whatever you got, ours happens to be grape juice. As you discern that, you discern the fact that He overwhelmingly took care of everything concerning you on the cross. When you really start believing that, then it becomes a little bit easier to believe that His body, that the Word proclaims from a prophetic word 500 years earlier by Isaiah, that by His stripes, His body, we are healed. It's going to be difficult for you to believe that you can be healed if you don't believe the part that of the blood, because the blood is the one that tells you He loves you no matter how stupid you've been. How cool is that? But it's incorporated in that is this whole thing called discerning the body in the cup and the bread. So I want to go back to a scripture we're all familiar with, because on the first Sunday of every month at some point in time in my 27 years, we've quoted this scripture so that we could chunk the bread down and drink the cup down and be done. And I'm saying that lightly. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we're at a different place. Matthew 26, we know this well. So as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and He blessed it. And then He broke it into pieces. Just stay right there for a second. He broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take this and eat it, because this is My body." And then He took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is My blood, which confirms the covenant between God and His people. It's poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark My words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." I don't think there'll be any necessity. He just said, "I won't drink the cup." He didn't say nothing about bread. When we're in heaven, we're not going to need the bread anymore. You get it? We'll be whole. Man, we'll have a new body even. A new body without scars. That'll preach right there, won't it? And then verse 30. Then they sang a hymn and went out to Mount Olivet. I almost said Olivet. Sorry. Yeah, they went to the Mount of Olives. Here's what's so funny in all this. That right there, I got stuck in that right there. That sing a hymn thing. Because this is obviously prior to when Christ died. So they didn't have the hymns that we have. I'm assuming it was probably some of David's Psalms, because Psalms actually means singing, and so I'm sure that's what they did. But it got me to just looking at this. Is in front of you, you have these old hymns. Now, there, just so you know, there's some hymns that I don't think are that important. I mean, I say that important that I don't, never mind, let's just stay on the good ones. Nothing But the Blood, we sing it and we get into it. Man, pay attention to it, what the lyrics are. There was a couple of them that jumped out at me. So I'm kind of doing this backwards in the scripture because I want to do this and then we'll have communion. But you remember the song At the Cross, right? Here's what you probably don't know. And if you did know this, then I apologize. I didn't know this till 2 days ago. There's another song called Alas and Did My Savior Bleed. And I was reading it and I was singing it in my office. And I'm like, man, that sounds like At the Cross. Well, come to find out it is. What happened was Isaac Watt in 1707 wrote Alas and Did My Savior Bleed. But then in 1885, a guy named Ralph Hudson added the chorus to it. And nobody got mad. and nobody sued. You get it. But here's how it goes. Oh, it's on page 84 if you want to see it. And by the way, on page 96 is the original, and it's all the same lyrics and everything. It says, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" Second verse, "Was it for crimes that I have done he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree." Verse 3, "Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin?" Last verse, "But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. This is all that I can do." He didn't rhyme the last part, bugs me. I marked a couple. You know, to be really honest with you, I went through every one of them to see how many I actually knew, and I probably knew 25%, maybe 30% of these. This is one of my favorites ever, and we've sang it as an anthem. So I'll sing it in a second, but I want you to hear the words. The title of it's "The Solid Rock," and it's you've heard the words. "My hope is built," but pay attention. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." That's it. It's all I got. They knew this in the 1800s. Well, actually, this one is 1700s, and it keeps going. "I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly, completely lean on Jesus' name." Second verse, "When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil." Verse 3, "His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay." Last verse, I love it the best. "When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne." That's all old school stuff, man. You young bucks, come in, take this old school stuff, juice it up. Because here's how it goes. Y'all know it, right? It's verse... Yeah, I'll give you the page. We'll do it. Let's be old school church. 290. Turn to page 290. This is how we used to do it when I was young. We'd have the one guy that does this thing, right? I'm not... That's just the way I remember, man. You there, 290? Let's do it. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." The chorus. "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." So true, man. "All other ground is sinking sand." Verse 2. "When darkness veils his lovely face." What does that mean? Stop right there. When darkness veils his lovely, when I am in the darkest of the pit and I can't see him, when darkness veils his lovely face, what happens? "I rest on his unchanging grace." Wow. "In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Verse 3, "His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." All other ground... I had no intention of doing none of this, by the way. Verse 4, my favorite. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So you know what's really cool about this? When they went, and it says they sung a hymn at the conclusion, it wasn't that hymn, because they didn't have that hymn to give. And as I was reading through all those hymns, if those are not, it's amazing. Just go through that book and see how many times the word blood is used. It all sounds gory and stuff. There's so much deep truth in some of our old hymns that it was a pretty powerful experience.
You know, even in human nature, we want somebody to pay a price. You did that, you're going to pay a price for that. That's what happened to me. This is what's going to happen to you. There's something in us that wants a price to be paid. And as believers, the price has already been paid. But I want to share this with you. 20 years ago, I guess that would be 1999, right? I was so confused over so many people who wanted to come to church and to know Jesus just to get something, right? You know, like he's talking about the magic pill. Well, I'm going to quit going to church because he didn't heal me. Well, I'm going to quit coming to church because there's evil in the world. The reason he came is because there's evil in the world, all right? So I was confused, though, because I noticed that people only wanted what they could get off him, like he's a sugar daddy or something, right? So when I sent this to our mentor, Judson Cornwall, this is what he sent back to me, and I think it's so relevant today. You have a scriptural viewpoint on faith. There are two of them. We're to have faith in God, not faith to bribe God. Our faith is in God's word. If he said it, that settles it. The true reward of faith is a closer relationship to God, not a new car or a new house or a new relationship. We cannot have faith for things. We have faith in what God says. For faith comes when we hear God speak. If God said he's going to give us something, we have faith for it, not because we want it or need it, but because he said he promised to give it. Dare to teach it God's way. I cannot produce faith, but I can receive it. He's talking about God's faith. I can't prove it, but I can accept it. I can't prove why God wants to bless us, but I can accept it. I can't prove why the blood and the cracker, the bread, I can't prove that, but I can accept it. And what we're going to do today is we're going to stand and together, by faith, because he said it through all those scriptures you read, if you'll stand with us, by faith, he said, you can have this.
You receive communion, you don't take communion. You receive it. That's what the word says, receive. We receive it. We receive because there's no worth in us. So the truth is, who's the one worthy in communion but him?
Jesus, yes.
So by me denying to take communion, I'm denying his worthiness.
Right. It's a trick of the enemy. So we have to stay in communion with God. So this morning, you know, Chuck was sick this morning, and we were texting back and forth about, you know, him being sick, and Steve's like, hey, take communion. It's not because it's the magic pill. It's because it's the gospel. It's the truth of God's word. So together, I just want to simply, by faith, to say, God, you know what? I'm going to believe you today. But I want to go one step further than just healing. Steve's been talking about it. Depression. Oppression. When you are driven by something, this has got to happen. This is, ugh. Anybody know that little feeling? When you have that feeling, that is the enemy driving a wedge between you and the peace of God. And I am proclaiming and believing today that as we take this in, the atonement for that thing that drives you to go in the name of Jesus.
And here's what I want us to do. I don't want you to get in a hurry. And what I mean by that is the normal procedure of a church is we give instructions, we eat together, we drink together. That's not today. I want you to take your time, and I want you to pay attention, and I want you to discern His body. What is this? What does that mean? This means that His body, cancer is defeated with this in my hand. Depression is defeated with this in my hand. This cup, concern, doubt, thinking I'm all terrible, it's right here. So Father, I just want us to discern Your body today and to discern Your blood today, God. We want to get this right. And so that's what we do. And guys, I'm just telling you, sit down, stand up, whatever you want to do, but don't receive your communion until you really believe. Again, examine that my faith is genuine. Father, that's my heart today. I don't want to just day in and day out take the cracker, God. I want to believe that when I eat that You really did heal me because of who You are and Your love for me. My heart is devoted. My heart.